Somebody wrote my life story, though the ink never touched the writer's quill. Now in heaven, I'll live happy ever after, 'cause my life story started once upon.
My life's an open book. Oh, it's never been a mystery how the fiction became real, 'cause my life story started once upon a hill.
I never laid eyes upon the author, though it's clear to see he's laid his hands on me. My life story may not be the world's bestseller, but you won't have to read between the lines to that once upon a hill is all it took. From hidden shame, my heart's been changed, my life's an open book. Oh, it's never been a mystery how the fiction became real, 'cause my
standing fast in the liberty where Christ has set us free. Freedom in Christianity has been lost in a lot of churches. We don't know what freedom is anymore. They make you come to church, or they bring you into their church, and they tell you about Jesus and how to get saved, and then they entangle you in bondages that are hard to bear. There is freedom that comes from Christ that stems from the Holy Spirit residing in you, and He teaches you on how to live your life. And then it's free, it's you want to. If you have to do something, especially if they teach you, you have to do this and that to pay rent on your Christianity or on your salvation, I would say, then I think you need to exit that church, because that is not standing free in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. We are free in Christ, not to live for the devil, but to live godly lives in Christ Jesus. So put that scripture up for now, Galatians 5, 1-2, out of the King James Version. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free, made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." What's he talking about there? What's a yoke of bondage? It'll explain itself in the next verse. It says, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." So here he was talking to the church of Galatians, which some of the Jews who followed him around had compelled some of the people there to get circumcised, otherwise they cannot be saved. And Paul came along saying, "No, this is ridiculous. We cannot go back into the law." And this was to add to their salvation. If they want to be circumcised or whatever law they follow, keep the Sabbath, that's up to them. But Paul was coming, bringing this. They were bringing this in to add to their salvation, because they said, "You cannot be saved if you are not circumcised." So they were adding to what Jesus did on the cross, which is to set us free. But before we get into my next part of the message, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your freedom, for the freedom to let us choose. Lord, we only need to allow ourselves to live connected to you, and you will guide us. If we go too far to the left, you will bring us in. If we go too far to the right, you'll bring us in. We need not to be afraid. You have, we are yoked together with you. We don't need to worry about any heavy burden or anything else, because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And this is what we depend on, is to trust in you, just like we sang this morning. It is so sweet to trust in you. So thank you for this, Jesus. You will open our understanding so that we will become free in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. You may be seated. Again, stand fast wherewith in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. I stole some of this out of Oswald Chambers. Some of this, anyway. Some of it I came up with, and the other stuff is from Oswald Chambers. A spiritually minded person will never come to you with the demand, believe this or believe that. A spiritually minded person will demand that you align your life with the standards of Jesus. We are not asked to believe the Bible, but to believe the one whom the Bible reveals. And this is backed up by John 5:39-40, out of the King James Version. Search the scriptures, Jesus said to the people he was arguing with. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of himself, of Jesus. And you will not come to me that you might have life. In the New Living Translation, it says it this way. You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. Yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. So scripture is Jesus. Jesus is scripture become flesh. He's the life of the scripture. It points to him. It's not scripture itself. Scripture, a lot of religions come out of scripture. Most of the religions you face today are somehow connected to scripture. But the one that reveals the life or gives the life or scripture talks about all from the beginning right to the end is Jesus Christ. It points to the one man we need to get to know of whom scripture is talking about. Our work is not to save souls. That's not our business, but to disciple them. Salvation and sanctification are the work of God's sovereign grace. And our work as his disciples or as his servants, is to disciple other lives until they are totally yielded to God. So it's about not about telling you what to do, but living our lives yielded to God and showing them how to yield to God. and we can do this best by showing others that we ourselves are truly devoted to our Heavenly Father and to our Lord Jesus Christ. By the life that we live. One life totally devoted to God is of more value to him than 100 lives which have been simply awakened to by his Spirit. Basically, they've gotten saved and that's it. They don't go on with Christ. They don't do anything more. As workers for God, we must reproduce our own kind spiritually. In other words, we must reproduce the same thing, just like Paul said, be you followers of me. This is what we should do. We should exemplify or provoke others to jealousy by our own lives, by the way we live, by the way we trust God. Not by being dictators, but by invoking every part of Christ in our lives so that we can live up to the standards that God has set for us through his Spirit. It is achievable. On our own, it will never work. And again, I'll repeat that. As workers for God, we must reproduce our own kind. In other words, people that, if we achieve that spiritually, that they can become just like we are. And those lives will be God's testimony to us as his workers. God brings us up to a standard of life through His grace. And we are responsible for reproducing that same standard in others. This is our responsibility. Not making rules and regulations for you to follow, but living the standard of life through His grace, and we are responsible for reproducing that same standard in others. Even the Apostle Paul said, be you followers of me. Because it's a bold statement to say. Can we say that? Can I say that? Be you followers of me? Oh man, that's a tough one. In Colossians 3:3, I didn't give him this one here. Unless the worker's life is a life that is hidden with Christ in God, he is apt to become an irritating dictator to others. Instead of an active, living disciple, many of us are dictators, dictating our desires to individuals and to groups, but Jesus never dictates to us in that way. Whenever our Lord talked about discipleship, he always prefaced his words with an if. If. Never with the forceful or dogmatic statement, you must. Discipleship carries with it an option. You can choose. You can sit at home, be content with fire insurance, that's from hell, or you can be a disciple, which can lead many to freedom. Not to save them, because we are not the ones that save Jesus Christ. We catch them, he cleans them. We are called to present, in other words, demonstrate liberty for the conscience of others. Not to bring them liberty for their thoughts and opinions, but if we ourselves are free with the liberty of Christ, others will be brought into that same liberty. So it's freedom that we bring. We bring freedom to people, not bondage. So think about how free your life is. Are you free enough that you can tell others about Jesus Christ and the freedom that you have and that you enjoy, the grace that you enjoy? There is much more joy in bringing somebody to liberty and to freedom than trying to invoke a dictatorship upon them where you try to rule them by following certain rules and regulations just to keep them in check or in line with your thinking if you are in a religious organization. The liberty that comes from realizing the absolute control and authority of Jesus Christ. I have to back up here for the last part to make sense again. But if we ourselves are free with the liberty of Christ, others will be brought into that same liberty. And that liberty, the liberty that comes from realizing the absolute control and authority of Jesus Christ, that is true freedom. Always measure your life solely by the standard of Jesus, submitting yourself to his yoke. And remember what he said about his yoke. And his alone. And always be careful never to place a yoke on others that is not of Jesus Christ. So you want his yoke and his burden, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It takes God a long time to get us to stop thinking that unless everyone sees things exactly as the way as I do or as we do, they must be wrong. That is never God's view. There is only one true liberty. And that is the liberty of Jesus at work in our conscience, enabling us to do what is right, not by what I think is right. So don't get impatient with others. Remember how God dealt with you, and I have to always remember. That's where I get my grace from. I look at myself, and then I see how long and how with how much patience God dealt with me over 30, almost 40 years already to get me to where I am, and I am not even halfway to where I want to be. But I, looking back, I can really thank God that he has given me grace, and now I can look at things through the lens of grace and look upon others without condemnation. Don't get impatient with others. Remember how God dealt with you with patience and with gentleness, but never water down the truth of God. Let it have its way. Never apologize for it either. Jesus said, go and make disciples, not make converts to your own thoughts and opinions. So what we have to be careful of is if we have certain mindset and we think that's the right mindset, what we do is we strive to try to tell people they have to think like we think. But no, when I was talking to a brother yesterday describing a house, if I'm on one side of the house and he's on the other side and we're describing the house and the perspective, both of us have a different perspective of the house, and I say, well, I'm standing behind and this house has, I describe, it has 10 windows, and he says, no, I'm standing at the same house and it has only 5 windows. And that has to do with the perspective we're standing in. We're describing the same house, but we forget to ask the question, what are we describing? What are we thinking of when we are describing the house? It's just an example when it comes to Christianity. There are certain scriptures when I became saved that had a very superficial meaning, but it was true to meaning. But as you grew in Christ, the depth of the scripture was revealed, and I'm still looking at the same scripture but getting different things out of it. So we can describe different scriptures. There are different levels to them. They're like a well of water which is deep, and you can get different things out. And you'll notice it as you grow in Christ, how the same scripture as it had talked to you when you got saved is now talking to you in a different way, in a more depth and meaningful way. And it might be futile for you to explain it to somebody who's at a different level to explain how you see that scripture. It might just bring an argument. So you come to a truth and say, well, you're at that level, I understand that you see that scripture, and which is true also. It means that too. As long as it's not error. So we have to watch so it's not error. But as long as, like I said, we describe the same house, it means the same scripture, and we're not in error there. So the scripture is talking about whatever it is, whatever level you're in, if that's what it means to you at the point of your Christianity that you're at, so that's good. Grow in that. Just don't stalemate with that. It can get deeper as you get closer to God. And again, that concludes my part of the message, but I still want, for the YouTube viewers, if anybody's not saved and it doesn't know Christ, the message of salvation is the easiest thing. Jesus said to the disciples when they rebuked the children from coming to him, he said, rebuke them not, for such is the kingdom of God. I want to go on record as saying, I think every human being, and I'm not talking about Nephilim, I'm talking about human being that is born, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Every human being. There is a point to become blotted out. And that point, it comes when you reject Christ. That the Bible often talks about, I will blot out your name. Well, how would he blot out your name if it's not in there? So when Jesus said, such as the kingdom of God is the kingdom of God, when he referred to children, he meant not some children, he meant all children. Such is the kingdom of God. So they are there, written in heaven. To the point, they're going to be written there where they come to adulthood and reject Jesus Christ. So today, do not, while it's called today, do not reject Christ. Call upon him. The thief on the cross, I will always refer to him because it was he's the first guy to call out to Jesus. All he did is, remember me. All he said was, remember me this day. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. Can you imagine the joy that followed that? The same day he was with Jesus in heaven. Christianity and going to heaven is very, very simple. It's God who made it so easy that a child can understand it. The only thing that's in our way is pride. Humble yourself before God, and he will in due time exalt you. So the Lord, open your eyes and do not postpone his voice today as he calls.
Good preaching, Brother James. Hallelujah, God is good. I got a message today. I've heard preachers teach on it, but they don't quite know what to do with it, how to finish it. Well, I'll finish it, so pay attention. I wish you could have listened to my radio program that would have given a counterpart to what I'm preaching today. So open your heart, and those on the internet, try not to get mad, because it's going to be the Word of God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know you not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that's homosexuals, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Anybody here who's guilty of that? Yes, sir, I am. Why? Because human nature, for definite sure, you got a tendency to be one of them. And such, but it says, and such were some of you. Now it becomes interesting. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That makes a difference in a human being. Being washed, being cleansed, and just going on, rejecting Christ, rejecting the cleansing. God gives us a chance. That is almost hard to believe, and sometimes for many, hard to understand. But one thing he did, he washed us, he cleansed us, he made us pure and holy. You don't have to work up to it. You don't have to slowly better yourself. That would be like cleaning a fish before you catch them. You got to catch them first before you can clean them. We bring them to the Lord. We tell them where the great sacrificer is, and he does the cleaning. Such were some of you, but now you have been washed. You have been sanctified. You have been justified. Is that speaking to you here? If it's not, then let God open your hearts. And then comes 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. I bet you somebody would like to hit me in the throat right now. I can do whatever I want when I'm washed, when I'm cleansed, when I'm holy. But it's not good for me. Why? It puts a division between the God that I serve and myself. It's not God that walks away. Where the division comes from. It's from us. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The Apostle Paul tells us to throw down every evil imagination once you have become born again. It's a tough job, but you can do it. Might take a lifetime, but you can do it. It's not to get closer to salvation, because we fight from victory and not for victory. The victory is ours already. Let's just walk towards that victory. Let's cleanse ourselves and be an example to those around us and something that our God can be proud of. Hallelujah. Now it becomes really interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. Know you not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members with a harlot? Remember, having sex with somebody is making members. Your members are now members of Christ. You are getting God into the mix now when you do that. And that's watching pornography too, because it is whatever you have in your heart, it's the same as doing it. So there's no escaping this one. You are making Christ a member of a harlot. What? And make them members of a harlot? God forbid. Know you not. What? He says, know you not. He that which is joined to a harlot is one body. For the two, shall be one flesh. That's quite a mouthful. A washed one. One that is sanctified. One that is holy. He takes his body and joins that body to a harlot. Then he joins that body to Jesus. That's awful to think about it. But there's lots of Christians who do get involved with that. And one day, the judgment seat of Christ, I don't know if it's going to be mentioned, because it says all your bad things are going to be burned off. But we know it now. Let's not put that rift between us and God where we lose our confidence and our hope in him. Let's not make him part of a harlot. And then it goes on to tell us, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. I'm one spirit with God. We're not something different. He has created us in his own image, and through Christ, I became one spirit with him. We are the bought ones that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. So remember that. You on the internet who are listening, you're one spirit with Christ. You've been made holy and pure. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, listen to that one. Read it up there. Make sure it's in your spirit. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? When did the Holy Ghost come into you? When you became born again by the Spirit of God, when you were sanctified, when you were purified, you have the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You are not what? Your own. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You sold yourself. You are God's servant. You are God's property. You are God's purchase, possession. And he says, no, you are not your own anymore. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which you can easily attach to harlot by all the voice that's out there, and in your spirit, which are God's, which is connected to God, which are God's. It belongs to Him. Our body, our spirit belongs to God. And we need to understand that. And one day, we will stand before this great God and we will think, did we do our best? I want to say yes, but I know it's hard, it's impossible, but we can give it the best shot we got. We can love this God. We can have a relationship with Him where we don't even think of pornography or any of the vices that Satan brings to us. So open your heart to this. This is some of the sweetest scriptures that you can find that some Christians will battle with all their lives and will hardly get to understand. But the understanding will come with yet when we see Him face to face and we see truly that we're truly one with our bridegroom. So open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. All ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care. Do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your cares to Jesus, He will give you rest.
Come unto me,
and I will give you. By temptation, often conquered been, has a sense of weakness brought distress within. Christ will sanctify you if you claim His best. In the Holy Spirit, He will give you rest.
Come unto me,
and I will give you rest.
Take my yoke upon you.